Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good morning, everyone. This is Chris Miles here, Chris Miles Money Show. Be able to show you how to find and free up cash, how to have more freedom and prosperity today, and a better quality of life right now. How can we make a difference in our lives right now financially and in our businesses without having to live off rice and beans and without having to wait 20, 30, or 40 years to hope and pray that something better will come along? And that's the whole message, is about how do we prosper today. So I'm excited to have our guest on today. I'll tell you, we've got a very interesting treat for you today. But before we get into that, I just want to remind you, if you haven't done so already, and if you really want to take that education to the next level and learn more about how you can be able to have more cash in your life and be able to have more freedom, there's a great ebook I offer for free on my website, moneyripples.com. That's www.moneyripples.com. A great ebook called Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today. I invite you to go ahead and download your own copy and get that, as well as check out any other free blogs and things like that, other podcasts we've done in the past. Definitely subscribe to iTunes to be able to enjoy some of those and check out the events that we have going on. So lots of things to learn, lots of great education, and lots of great resources and tools for you to be able to make those changes today. So I've got a special guest by the name of Dr. Jerry Duggar. Now, Dr. Duggar here, I'll tell you, he's one thing I've really come to respect about him. I've known him for several years, worked with him as a client few years back, and got to know him from his own professional level too. This guy is like the absolute wellness chiropractor of chiropractors. I mean, this is a guy that really teaches you how to not just be how to have sick care, but how to have real wellness care, how to have real health care. And I've come to respect him and seen a lot of things that he's done. Definitely the things he does for his patients. He has raving patients, especially here in the state of Utah. Lots of great stuff that he does here. And I'll tell you, I mean, the cool thing is, too, if you see his bio that's in our show as well, interesting point, he's also in a barbershop quartet. Is that correct, Jerry?
Well, I'm not singing so much anymore, but yes, I am a gold medalist. How about that? Didn't know barbershop had competitions, but it does.
So now not only do I sing his praises, but he just sings in general too.
That's a good one.
So great guy to have on our show, and really excited about this topic of really how health and wellness and financial wellness tie together. Because one thing I've seen is if you've noticed in the financial arena, many people will say, man, what's the best way to make more money and things like that. Well, I focus on three key areas when I teach people. One is how to find and free up. Is how do you keep it, and then three, how do we make more of it? And what I've noticed is especially, and there's definitely some areas in finding and freeing up cash that can happen when you're healthy. But I'll tell you, when it comes to keeping your money and be able to make more money and be more productive, health is absolutely critical. In fact, if anything, I mean, money you can lose and get back, but boy, health, if you lose that, it's possible you may never get that back, and it could even lead to you not being on this planet. So It's a very important thing, and something I've seen a lot of people be very affected financially when this is not in order. And so when we talk about wealth, we're also talking about health, right? And one of the biggest keys there. So Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Gosh, I'm really excited to be on your show today. I love talking about the difference that we can make as we make different choices, and I love that you're applying that same concept to the financial world, philosophy and perspective and how we vision things, how we see things, totally determines our outcome. And most of us are kind of compartmentalized in our thinking, and we may apply a great principle and tool in one dimension of our life, and yet we completely ignore the fact that it could work in another dimension. And so this may be a little bit different for your audience to go down this path, but I want them to understand how connected it is. The philosophy that you take with regard to money will apply here in your health as well. And Virgil, I think, was the famous guy who quoted, your health is your greatest wealth. And so hopefully we'll be able to shed some light on that today for your listeners and really help them make a difference. I love when in your intro you talked about making a difference that shows up today. So we definitely want to have some things that they can apply and implement immediately. So I hope I'll deliver that for you guys today.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure you will, without a doubt. So, you know, give us your perspective on this. I mean, first and foremost is, you know, how does this really relate to money?
Well, you know, I hadn't planned on doing this, but the way you phrased the question takes me all the way back to when I was a young kid. I remember when I was 12 years old, I'm the youngest of eight kids, and I kind of grew up in a home that was, I always knew we were poor. And I came home one day from school and turned the corner to be a couple blocks away from my house and saw a big ambulance parked out in front of my house. I ran, obviously, as fast as I could and got to my home right as they were wheeling my dad out on a stretcher, loading him in the back of the ambulance and driving him away with my mom. I was left, you know, as a 12-year-old standing on the sidewalk not knowing if I'd ever see my dad again. And I recognized that, you know, he did survive. End of the story is that he had a quintuple bypass, and they saved him, right? The heroics of medicine saved my dad. But, you know, he had poor health before. He couldn't hold a good job. He had poverty mentality and poverty health all through his life. And I watched that play out in all the different dimensions. And I recognized, you know, how much money he just, you know, cost the system, so to speak, because he didn't take care of himself. And so I saw it from a personal point of view. And then I, as I became a chiropractor and got into health, I realized that, man, this is going on in every single person's household that I know. Right now in America, we rank 38th in overall health across the globe.
Wow.
You know, another study I just read compared 17 of the top, you know, the biggest countries in the world, and we rank 17th out of 17. So I'm like, well, we've got a major problem here, and the cost of health care, which I'm going to challenge that definition in a few minutes, but, you know, the cost of it is staggering. We're spending $3.7 trillion every year, 3.8, I think it just went to, and by 2015, they're estimating $4 trillion every year. That's like, you know, your money people out there like numbers. That's like $8,558 per American every year being spent on treatment.
Wow.
Okay, on the treatment of disease. That's 17.9% of the GDP. You know, if we're spending 18% of the gross domestic product of the country just to pay for health, you know, before too long, and that's escalating, that's a curve that's going up, it's not getting cheaper, it's basically going to bankrupt the country. And on a personal level, it's the number one, you know, catastrophic health event is the number one cause of personal bankruptcy. So, you know, despite insurance and all those things we can talk about, we're still losing the battle. And the question is, you know, what else are we going to throw at this? More money being thrown at this system isn't solving it. So, you know, we now have almost 50% of Americans have a chronic disease right now.
My goodness.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
So, and 75% of those dollars that I just talked about throughout that $4 trillion, you know, those are all spent on chronic diseases. So what are we going to do? You know, is this a trend that we can continue to support? Is there a way that we can continue to fund the decline of health,
right,
productivity, and even just, you know, how do we pay to keep people alive?
Right.
So, you know, I look at this as a financial ruin awaiting us.
Yeah, isn't it interesting that we're in such a free and prosperous country, and that but we have such a hard time staying healthy?
Well, you know, so yeah, I love we have an illusion of freedom. We have freedom in, you know, our politic, mm-hmm. but those freedoms may be being eroded. But we're personally enslaved. We're enslaved by our forks and knives. We're enslaved by our taste buds. We're enslaved by our remote controls. We're enslaved by our our entertainment, and we're shifting, and we're also enslaved by an illusion that we're somehow being protected because we have insurance. I was just thinking about this morning, Chris. I know it's getting a little deep right off the bat here, but insurance is a social contract. We're all basically being pooling our risks together. Our risks of disease, we're going to pool it all together in this big pot and divvy it out. We're all going to pay a premium. So it's a social contract with everybody else in the pool. But because that we've distanced ourselves from everybody else, we don't know who they are, we don't really care that we're costing the system much. I have patients who say,
pulling together as a community, for example, where you know your neighbor, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I have a patient who says, I can't afford to buy this fish oil for $30, but I can't afford my $4 prescription. And I'm like, wait a second. That $4 prescription only cost you $4 cash when you bought it, but your insurance company paid $900. So that
right.
means that everybody else in your pool just paid for you. Which is great if you're the only one using it, but everybody else has the same mentality. So the cost has to go up. We've disconnected from our responsibility of our own health, and we've pushed that burden out on the insurance pool.
Well,
can you see how that's just not sustainable?
Oh, yeah. Well, and people are noticing it right now, too, where it's a catch-22 for a lot. I've noticed as I've talked to them this last year with the Affordable Health Care Act, right?
Yes.
"Quote unquote affordable," because
everybody's
costs it way up because we're insuring everybody, no matter, regardless of health, regardless of their choices or lifestyle, and as a result, what's happening is now everybody's costs go up. But then the government says, "Well, if you don't make too much money, hey, we'll subsidize it and make it cheaper for you." But overall, it almost counters people wanting to become more prosperous. People don't want to show more income because then they have to pay more out of pocket, right? It's kind of a weird.
Yeah, so then we're stifling our ability to create wealth, and we're rewarding poor decisions and illness behavior, and we've got a crazy philosophy that's taken root, and then here's the other. I think the biggest distinction happens when we understand that healthcare is not healthcare. Let me explain.
Right.
Okay. What we're calling health care, the Affordable Health Act, it has nothing to do with health. It has everything to do with managing diseases. You see, think about this like a continuum, a line, and way over here on the left-hand side you have treatment of disease. Okay, and then just to the right of that you have something called early detection of disease. And then to the right of that, you have a prevention of disease. And then somewhere kind of almost over here on the right-hand side, you've got maintenance of health. And then way at the other end of the right side, you have an expansion of wellness. Okay, growth, expansion, an enlargement of who you are and what you can do and how you have an impact on the world. So where does our current model focus its attention?
It's always on
all
either.
The way at the left end, treatment of disease.
Right. Exactly.
And the best we can come up with is go get your mammogram, or go get your prostate screen, or go have a colonoscopy at 40.
Can't
right?
wait.
And that's what we're calling prevention. But none of those things prevent any of the illness, right? I mean, mammograms probably cause cancer. They don't prevent it. So the best that we're coming up with in the medical model is early detection of disease. Let's find out if you have diabetes earlier so that we can treat it before it gets too bad. Now, that's an improvement over waiting completely till the end of the road and you're dying. But it's nowhere near where our focus should be.
Right.
How do we really prevent disease? Well, it's in your lifestyle. It's the food you eat, it's the exercise you get, it's what you're watching, it's your thought process, it's your belief systems. All these things are what contribute. I'll talk about what I call the seven pillars of wellness. But you know, prevention isn't even the end of the road. We really want to not just prevent disease, we're still focused on disease. Let's focus on health. How do we maintain and expand our health and wellness?
Now, one thing you always hear, now, of course, when we're talking about this, I want listeners to know, too, that, you know, we're not pointing fingers at people when they have, like, genetic situations or things like that where you're born with, where it creates a lot of medical issues from birth or, you know, or accidents. I mean, these are things that are obviously, you know, different scenarios. We're talking more about preventative or even maintenance, like you were saying, right, Jerry?
Absolutely. And the science is pretty clear that about, 3 to 4% of our current disease in the world is genetic. It's not a lot. There are those realities that are existing, but even the genes that we have, let's say everybody in our family died at 50 from heart disease, you would say, oh, there's a pretty strong genetic tendency in that family. There's a risk factor. But
sure.
You know, I could show up and I could make a completely different lifestyle changes, and I could turn off those genes so they don't express. And I might not live till I'm 100, but I certainly might not die when I'm 50. So we can influence our genes. It's one of the most powerful, liberating understandings that science has given us over the last 20 years, is that our health is not locked as a inevitability in our genes, and our genes are really just malleable based on what we do. Our environment washes over our genes to express our potential.
Right.
So even somebody who, you know, we talked about poverty thinking and the fact that if you feel trapped and you can't make any changes, you can't do anything, well, you'll never grow. You'll never get out of it. It's fear-based, and so is thinking that my genes are going to determine my health. Other than a very small percentage of the people that are, you know, have really serious issues, most of us can have an impact. And even if we are sick because of one reason, we can improve our chances and improve our health. So it's all about empowerment.
I totally agree.
I brought that up, though.
Yeah. Now, one question on this, because I think you're kind of dancing around a little bit, is, you know, I'm sure the objection you get with people where you're trying to get them to prevent it or even maintain good health, prevent poor health.
Yeah, sure.
Future, right? But I know you get one thing where you probably hear people say, yeah, but here's the thing is, you know, it's expensive to have to, you know, buy that omega fish oil or to get this or that. It's so much cheaper when there's insurance that can back it up or whatever. You know, what do you say to that?
It's valid. Certainly, there's a shift in where dollars have to be allocated. I looked at what companies are noticing as they implement wellness strategies in their organizations. They're the ones who, you know, they've got a whole department of people who can calculate return on investment, and the numbers are pretty interesting. Most studies are finding between a $3 to a $14 savings for every dollar that's being spent on wellness. So
really?
What I mean by that is every dollar that the company is putting towards improving the health and well-being of their employees, they're saving between, what, $3.78, all the way up to $14 on costs that the company would be, on the hook for. So let's translate that back to our homes. Now, you know, we're paying an insurance premium, right? But if you are also incorporating wellness strategies, changing your diet, buying the right supplementation, going to the chiropractor, having a gym membership, or running with your friends for free, all of those things are going to translate to less costs overall. Now, the question is, and where I see it show up is really almost always the grocery bill. People say, well, it's more expensive to buy organic. Well, yes, but if you subtract out all the junk that you're buying, it actually will, it'll even out.
Yeah.
So we eat a whole lot more expensive food items, but we have zero waste in our budget. And so every single dollar we spend on groceries or food is is for the very best that we can afford to do. Now, we can't always afford everything we want, so we have to make some compromise. But you have to understand where how much you want to invest in that. And I believe it is an investment, right, Chris? I mean, we want to get a return on that with better health and productivity.
Yeah,
I had a patient. Can I share this with you? I had a patient just yesterday who came in, we put him on a very comprehensive health plan, and he spent a lot of money on this plan, and he was kind of humming and hawing about whether he was worth it. And his wife was there, and she was like, you don't realize I'm worried about you being able to provide for our family. You know, if your health gets worse, how much is that going to cost us? You know, if you can't get out and work, what's the cost to our family? And, she was just like, this is pennies on the dollar of what would happen if you were to lose your job or to become, unable to continue to work and provide. And I said, I told him, I said, I will expect for you to tell me how quickly you earn that money back by improved health and more productivity in your business. He's self-employed. You're telling me that the way you feel, he's got depression, he's overweight, he has no energy, he can barely get going. That's affecting his bottom line every day.
That's right.
So there are costs all around, but the upside is that as our health improves, our capacity to see other opportunities improves, and our ability to rise up the corporate ladder, if that's what we're on, improves. So,
I think that's the big part of faith is, like you said, that you want to return on investment in what you do, and like even I've noticed as we've eaten healthier, like our food costs went up a little bit. Part of that's also because we have five kids that are growing older, so after they consume more, it's gonna be more expensive. Plus, food costs go up. I mean, there's a lot of variables there too, but. Overall, I mean, even if your food bill does go up, I've noticed with eating healthier and eating more organic and getting the right supplements and things like that, I've also noticed, too, that, like you said, one, there's a little less in the healthcare costs. I know we go to the doctor a lot less than we used to. And secondly, like you just mentioned, I think is the most important one because this is the opportunity cost. This is where people lose the most money is in how productive and how efficient are they in the work that they're in. And this applies both at home. Both someone who might be a stay-at-home spouse, for example, as well as someone who's out there working. And that I've noticed that you see people where, I know people that they're chronically sick, and they'll say, well, I've just got issues, and I'm technically dying, which I start to wonder, I wonder if that's really the case. And but you realize that they get passed up for promotions, right? They get passed up for promotions at work. They're not as productive. They lose valuable time that, especially if you're a business owner, this is even more critical. Because everything's amplified when you're a business owner. If you miss out on that critical ability to produce, to be able to go out and provide value, or you miss out on that one key relationship with that person you could have met that would have made maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars of difference in your business, if not millions of dollars of difference, all because you weren't at the top of your game, because you weren't feeling well, you weren't, you just weren't, connecting, you weren't there, you weren't able to produce as well as you could. I mean, it makes a drastic difference.
And the only thing you didn't touch on, you nailed them all, but let's translate this down. I'm assuming we have some parents who are listening. Let's translate this down to your children at school.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times we set the bar for what we can achieve based on early performance. Kids get an idea early on when they're comparing themselves with their friends and the people sitting next to them in class of whether they're smart. Whether they're going to accomplish much, whether they're always, on the lower end of average, or if they're really high achievers. And I can tell you for sure that the health of the family, what's happening, on the kitchen table, and, what sort of habits they have as a family that are contributing to their health, dramatically impact the brain. They dramatically impact the ability of a child to focus, to be attentive, to feel confident. And so that's when I really start getting passionate, is I see the impact of mom and dad's behavior on their young children. And I know it took me a long time to overcome my early programming that I received at my home. Now, I told you about my dad. Let me share real quick. My mom was the opposite. You know, she had a totally different lifestyle than my dad did. And, you know, she's 85. She got her brown belt in Taekwondo at age 70. She does yoga all the time. She gets suggested. She's got the right, you know, she's living a totally different lifestyle than my dad did, who passed away 17 years ago. So I got to see both of those, but I recognized that the easy route was to follow the lifestyle that my dad had. It was work to follow what my mom was doing. So I came across that a little bit later on in life, but, you know, it shows up in our children. It shows up in, you know, in how well we parent. It shows up in how well we show up at work and, you know, what we do, how powerful we are as a provider of value to other people. So, gosh, there's so many dimensions of this health and wellness concept, and it totally translates to money. Absolutely.
Totally. Yeah, I know we have about 2 or 3 minutes left. I mean, are there any final points you want to make here?
So, yeah, real quick, let's dive in. I want to give people just 7 things. They're general. They're very general. If they want more information, they can go through your show, I'm sure, and find me. I can send them an ebook on the 10 tips to jumpstart their health. But I'm going to talk about my seven pillars of wellness. They're really simple. The first is eat well. And that means nutrient dense real food. That's all you need to know. Don't make nutrition any more complicated. Nutrient dense real food. Number 2 is drink well. Ample, clean water. That's it. That's what we drink. We drink water. Number 3, sleep well. 7 to 9 hours of restful sleep every night. And get in a habit and a routine. Number 4, move well. Now, people think exercise is a swear word, so I'm saying move well. Because just because you exercise, if you're sedentary the rest of the day, it negates all the benefits of exercise. All muscles of the body every day, all joints of the body through their full range of motion every day. Okay? Simple, but we have to be active and moving. Number 5 on my 7 pillars is think well. It's all about positive and affirming thoughts dominating your mind. How quickly can we get out of the stinking thinking? How can we expand our thought processes and think bigger? Number 6 is the one we all are terrible about as adults, and that is play well. Engaging our creativity and our energy and our fun for renewal. We need to learn how to play again as adults. And number 7, love well, creating nurturing relationships and being a service to humanity and being able to contribute in meaningful ways to everyone around and creating that relationship. So I would suggest that the listeners pick one of those pillars and say, what am I going to focus my attention on this week? And focus some attention and come up with a game plan. Could I drink more water? Could I get to sleep on time? Could I think more positive? Could I do an affirmation? Could I spend more time with my family? Could I go swing on the swing set? You know, any one of those things, what can I do this week to make a difference that I can palpably feel and I'll be able to track it? And then just get your heads on the game plan of wellness and out of the mentality of managing and treating sickness. It'll make a huge difference.
Awesome. Wow. That's some powerful stuff. And you said there's a free ebook for that, correct? If they want to get that. How would they go about getting that? Or how would they go about contacting for that?
Yeah, good. My website is www.iamwellness.com. And they can sign up and subscribe to my weekly newsletter that's filled with tons of great content, as well as getting a free download of the 10 tips. And there's other information on that website about the 7 pillars of wellness and great ways to get in touch with me. There's some audio and video, of course. You know, I think everybody that wants to really make a difference in the world is creating great content, putting online. So your listeners, I'd love to have them come and join me, become part of my world, and let me help them make that wellness shift in their life and in their health and let it coincide with what you're teaching them in the world of finance and prosperity.
Awesome. IamWellness.com. Fantastic. Yeah, everybody go check that out. That's a great site. And obviously, Dr. Duggar, you're an amazing man. You're incredible.
Chris, so, appreciate it.
appreciate your time today. Appreciate the interview and lots of great content here that I know that as we apply this, it will lead to more wealth and health. You know, it's both. It's not about either or. It's how do we have both? And they're so interconnected, so you can't ignore that. So anyways, everybody, thank you so much. And, you know, be sure to join us next week as we come back and we gain some great content to be able to help increase your prosperity and your happiness right now. Everybody, make it a prosperous week. We'll see you later.